Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
As Bob Getty would say, let's go. It's an Eagle Hour on Wednesday from the Southern Bancorp Studio in Hattiesburg. I'm Kelly Sander along with Dima Mixon and producer-engineer Michael Mergens. Bob is out the rest of the week. Still to come on the program today, we'll be talking with Coach Missy Bilderback of the Lady Eagle basketball team here momentarily. They had an 86-53 win last night over Southeastern Louisiana. We'll also be talking with Glenn Dyer about Southern Miss football this weekend against South Al. Of course, he reports Golden Eagle Pride, keeps up with the Eagle football team. And then news and notes, including the volleyball all-conference teams have been named, and the volleyball team begins in the tournament tomorrow in Foley, Alabama. So lots to come. This first segment brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Smoked here, loved everywhere, just in time for the holidays. Leave Dickie's all the cooking responsibilities. They do it well, and they like doing it. And don't forget to look at all the side dishes that they have available for you as well. Dickie's has always been a big supporter of Southern Miss athletics. We mentioned the Lady Eagles 86-53 winners over Southeastern Louisiana last night to run the record to 5-0. Looking at a couple of the numbers that stand out to me, the Lady Eagles shot 50% from the floor and 39% from the three-point line when they held the Lady Lions. Would that be the Lionesses then?
I was wondering that when I was writing my story last night, because I was going to put the Lady Lions, and then I was like, I don't think that's like actually grammarly correct. So,
but they shot 33% from the floor, and the Lady Eagles will face Nicholls State this coming Saturday at 5 p.m. as we are joined now by women's head basketball coach Missy Bilderback. Coach, off to a great start. And those numbers don't lie, and those are pretty good-looking numbers. I'd imagine you'd love to have those every game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you guys for having me on again. I'm overall pretty pleased. Kelly, I wanted to pick with you the other day because you kind of gave me a hard time about that three-point percentage, you know, being so good, and then we had back-to-back games where we didn't shoot it quite so good. So I said, oh, no, we jinxed ourselves.
Put the hex on you, huh?
That's it. But, no, we got hot second half and kind of improved that percentage a bit. But, yeah, absolutely finding other ways to score, especially early in the game. And so really proud of our team last night, a good win. And, you know, I think we're growing and getting better every game for sure.
You had four players post double figures, and Carly Keats led the way with 17 points. Tell us about Carly Keats, Coach, from Philadelphia, Mississippi. What do we know about her?
Yeah, I mean, Carly's just, first of all, a great person and just, you know, a really hard worker. Loves the game. As people can see, she plays the game with a lot of great joy and enthusiasm and just loves the game of basketball. And so, but, yeah, Philadelphia, Mississippi, I was fortunate. I had a chance to recruit Carly, had a chance to coach her at Jones College. Just really under-recruited out of high school. Didn't have a whole lot of options out of high school. Out in Neshoba Central, she led her team to a state championship, went undefeated her senior year, but just didn't have a lot of Division I opportunities. And so she came to Jones a year, played for us a year, and Arkansas picked her up. You know, she played at Arkansas 2 years for the Razorbacks, started 31 games over her career there. And, you know, they had a coaching change. And about the time, I was able to come here to Southern Miss, so she went in the transfer portal and was able to scoop Carly up. So just really excited to coach her again. Just a really fun kid to coach.
You mentioned Arkansas, Coach, and I know you mentioned this last night when I was talking with you, but that's a Southeastern Louisiana team that played pretty close with Arkansas, and you guys were just able to roll them. You know, that has to say something, especially, you know, we were joking about the three-point percentage and stuff, but, you know, y'all guys didn't even hit a three-pointer in the first half, and which is crazy when you think about it, when y'all still had a 17-point lead at halftime.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing. You're exactly right. Like, I was really proud of the fact that we found other ways to score. And, you know, we got our bigs involved. We did some other things and were able to get some rim finishes, found our way to the free throw line a little more. And so just finding other ways to score. But, yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, that is a team that, you know, last week went to Arkansas. And, I mean, it was a back-and-forth game and close game through the first half. And, you know, really, you know, they ended up playing Arkansas to 8. And so, you know, you got to feel good about, especially how we're defending right now. We're really doing a much better job than what we saw earlier in the year defensively. And, you know, that's going to – our defense can travel. You know, our defense can be good every night. You're not going to make shots every night. Hopefully you shoot it well more often than not. But, you know, you're going to have those nights where the ball's not going in a hole. But if you'll defend and be committed there and rebounding, you'll have a chance to win every night for sure.
Well, Coach Bilderbach, you must be renting an apartment in Philadelphia, Mississippi, because Miriam Prince is also from Philadelphia. So they must play some women's basketball there that maybe is just now being exposed. That's a hotbed, huh?
Yeah, you know, we've got – so MP, Miriam, Melanie Timms is also from Philadelphia, and Carly Keats. So we have three – from the Neshoba County area. So one from Neshoba Central, Choctaw Central, and Leak Academy. And so I don't know that will ever happen again. These are young ladies that I got tremendous relationships with and known families for a while. And so, you know, an opportunity to pick Mel up in the portal last year from Mississippi State when I was at Monroe. And then, you know, Melanie transferred with us to Southern Miss when we got this job. And then, you know, Miriam, same situation, played a year at East Central Community College, was a freshman of the year in the Mississippi JUCO League, and then, you know, had a chance to bring her with us to Southern Miss. Her dad's a former Golden Eagle basketball player. So, you know, just a lot of connections for sure.
Now, you're not talking about John Prince, are you?
No, Philip Prince.
Prince, okay.
Yeah.
I guess John would be old enough to be her grandfather now.
Well, they Junction Deli, Prince Oil, you know, they are big in that Philadelphia and Neshoba County community up there, and just love basketball family, love basketball.
Coach, I wanted to ask you again about just Sakira White and just the presence I think she has down low, and the strength she has down low is what really sets her apart. And something she said that I thought was interesting when I was talking with her last night was, I think once I realized I had this size, it was easier. And so talk about her and, you know, the importance that she gives y'all, and, of course, double-double last night. So big minutes for y'all.
You know, she really had, like, two really good scrimmages for us where she averaged, I think, 19 and 12 in both scrimmages against Auburn and West Florida, and really looked good and had a little ankle injury, so came back a little tender and just trying to get her full strength. But great motor kid, like she's always going to give you 100% every time she steps between the lines. She rebounds the ball exceptionally well, pursues offensive rebounds, can run the floor. She's a mismatch for most bigs because of her speed and ability and, you know, to be able to play the pace we play. She can do that really well. And so, and she can make some tough shots, you know, so just really proud of her. She's, somebody, again, that, you know, you just have that consistency with the way she approaches things, with her effort, and, you know, just makes a difference every time she's on the court. But, yeah, she's usually undersized, and so I think last night she looked out there and felt pretty good, like, hey, I'm bigger than these kids, you know, so I can but she's usually having a battle with the bigs in there and a little bit undersized, but her heart and her motor sure makes up for it.
So you've got Nichols coming in here Saturday afternoon for a 5 o'clock tip at the greenhouse. You guys are off to a 5-0 start, and I've always liked the adage that confidence builds competence. And the way you guys are playing now with some confidence, am I overselling that, Coach Bilderbach, confidence? Am I overselling it?
No, I think, you know, for a young team, you know, especially, you want to be able to find that. We've got a little bit more of a mature team and an older team, and I think right now, like, each week presents different challenges, and so I think they've got a pretty good confidence level already, but at the same time, it doesn't hurt to get some wins under your belt. Have to win games differently. You know, we saw a little zone last night, you know, at Jacksonville State. We had to win with a lot of grit and toughness, and, you know, just a low-scoring game. We've had the games where we've shot it really well, you know, so there's just a lot of different things. But, yeah, I think for us, like, Nichols is going to be a good challenge. You know, they've got a lot of SBC transfers on their roster. They're a gritty, tough team. They beat Lafayette last week. You know, so, you know, kind of a comparable Sun Belt type opponent, even though they're in the Southland. I think they're going to be one of the top teams in the Southland, and I think they've got a lot of kids on that roster that have played in our league. So, you know, give us a good idea. They've got size, they've got shooters, they've got, you know, some downhill guards that are tough. So excited about that challenge before we move into next week, where it really picks up with the UAB, North Carolina State, SMU, UAB, Mississippi State stretch. I mean, that's a pretty tough stretch right there, most of it being on the road. So, you know, we need to keep improving every week, and, you know, it's going to be a fun stretch. We're excited about the challenges ahead, but certainly, you know, need to have a good week this week to get ready.
Well, 86-53 winners last night over Southeastern Louisiana, another team from the Southland. And
that's right.
It's Nichols coming in this weekend, this Saturday, for a 5 o'clock tip. That's a women's game only, 5 o'clock on Saturday. Coach Bilderback, continued success. Thanks, as always, for joining us on the Eagle Hour.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate you both. Thanks so much.
To the top. And when we come back, Glenn Dyer is going to be talking football, Golden Eagle style, as they get ready to figure out how to do something that the Eagles have never done before. That's beat South Al. We'll figure it all out when we return in just a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Eagle Tire West. And I've got some copy I'm supposed to read, but I'm just going to talk off the cuff here. You know, Eagle Tire West has been family owned. They've got several different locations. But the reason you go to Eagle Tire West is the very same reason like you go to the doctor. They know you. You know them. They keep track of what's wrong with your car, what has been wrong, how it's been serviced. They know exactly what to do and can put you in the right equipment, state-of-the-art facility with only the top products, particularly in tires, with a complete line of Goodyear products and services. Don't forget to check them out in their new location, Highway 98 West, Eagle Tire West. Kelly Sander along with Dima Mixon, Bob Getty off the rest of the week. Producer-engineer Michael Mergens, who's grinning like a show dog now that the Bears are in first place. In the NFC. Well, you still can't believe it, can you, Michael?
I don't even follow it anymore. And I've brought this up to people. Being that I don't live up there anymore, I'm not around it, it's hard for me to get into it. And over the years, I just sort of, I don't know. Now, the last trip I made up to Illinois, we stopped at a Target, walk in, front door, Bear stuff everywhere. And I got excited again. I'm buying stuff. You know, but I notice if I'm not in that world around it, it's sort of like, eh.
Well, I'm glad you went to Target, because according to the latest news, you're about the only
one. I was the only one that did, yeah.
Going to Target here lately. But we want to talk some football, Southern Miss football, as they get ready to take on South Al this Saturday in Mobile, a 2:30 kickoff. Glenn Dyer for Golden Eagle Pride keeps a pulse on everything that is Southern Miss football, along with other sports. But Glenn joins us today. So, Glenn, I want to start with the topic that everybody's talking about is how serious or how minor is the injury to Braylon Braxton? And I just I don't know, man. I think this thing might keep him out the rest of the season, but they might be.
Whoa.
That's I know. Whoa. I know that's strong, but
don't let the listeners freak out.
No, and I have no proof of that. I just call
Let's start with that.
Yeah.
Then why bring it up? Can't say anything nice, Kelly. Don't say anything at all.
A gut feeling.
Let's just say that's Kelly's sources right there.
And when I have a gut feeling, it's pretty serious.
It really is.
That's true.
Glenn, now that our listeners have now jumped off the bridge since Kelly just said that Braylon's out for the year, please give us some clarity on it.
Oh, that's good. I thought you were going to flip out of your chair, Dima. Honestly, man, it's hard to tell. I mean, this group does not talk about it. Initially it was thought it was just a contusion and some swelling and pain. Then the story is out that it's something more than that, a strain to a ligament, perhaps a tear, who knows. If it's a tear, he's probably done for a while. If it's a strain, he could be back next week. I mean, he could be back this week, be it in a brace and not at 100%. So, you got to choose your weapon here. Do you want an 80-85% Braylon or, 100% Liddy? It's a gut call that Coach Huff's going to have to make. You got to go with your gut and, how effective are either one of those going to be?
Well, I think it's pretty safe to say it's not a tear. He wouldn't have dressed for the Texas State game. And, Glenn, me and you saw him running warm-ups. I would be shocked if it's a tear that they would let him be out there throwing the pass and running with the ones and stuff.
Right,
it's got to be some kind of less than that. So it's probably going to be some kind of strain, and some of those soft tissue injuries, are really hard. It's just different for everybody, And like you're saying, right. a soft tissue injury on your knee really affects his ability to move and move his legs, and that's just hard to sometimes come back from quickly. And anything you do that could potentially increase it or strain it more,
So, right. So Glenn Dyer, we know how the Eagles play with Braylon Braxton on the lineup. How does the dynamic change if Liddy does go Saturday?
Well, if you're the opposing DC, it gets much easier. You don't have to account for a running quarterback or an extra gap, for a second running back that a quarterback would pose. So, TSU, it was much easier for them to, to scheme us up and defend us without the threat of a running quarterback. So, that's going to be on Blake Anderson if they do go with Liddy again to find things, that Liddy can, excel in, get the ball out of his hands quickly, RPO game, things like that. And obviously you got to protect him.
So when you look at the statistics about South Al, one of the things that, and we'll be talking with Craig Stevenson tomorrow, who covers the Jaguars extensively like you do the Eagles, South Al's defense is statistically pretty good. But then the other number that jumps out is the record isn't. So what gives there?
Yeah, I just to the defense, they are good. They're middle of the pack to upper third of the conference. Their front seven's really good. I think their back end's probably pretty average, but they've been so good up front. They've done a really good job of shutting down the run and making people one dimensional. That's what happened to us last week. They took the run away, and then we didn't have a threat. A quarterback to run, so they put it on Liddy to win the game with his arm. That was tough for him. To their defense and to their team in general. Coach Tuff made the statement the other day that seems like every time we have a game, it's a team that's kind of found their way, found their identity, and they're on the come up. And that's to me over the last three games, that could easily be the case with South Alabama.
Anything jump out to you in the media availability yesterday with Coach Tuff?
No, he was just extremely just calm, cool. Seemed to be confident. He didn't seem to be worried at all. He made the reference that there are some things we've been getting away with when winning games. In lieu of those, we're gonna have to clean those up because they came back to bite us in the rear end last weekend. And down the road, hope we've learned our lesson. We need to clean some things up with penalties and drop balls and things of that nature.
When you look at South Alabama, Glenn. Very similar to Texas State, and they've lost a lot of one-possession games. They took Troy to overtime. They lost by 1 point to Arkansas State. They lost by 9 to Louisiana. So across their record, and they actually only lost by 2 points to Tulane. So when you look across, you know, they're in every game. So I would expect that Southern Miss fans shouldn't be expecting to necessarily roll them on Saturday. But there is this kind of thing in the back of everybody's head, I think, of like, hey, this is South Alabama. It kind of reminds me of UAB about 10 years ago.
Yeah,
right?
The Hex, they just seem to have our number.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is a team that's found some confidence. That's a scary thing sometimes, you know, having to deal with a team that's feeling good about themselves. And I mean, they got an excellent coaching staff. I think Coach Applewhite, their head coach, is one of the better coaches in the conference. You know, he spent his time at Alabama with Saban in that group. He's an excellent coach and a great offensive mind. So, and he's got the younger Petrino brother calling his offense too. So that's no slouch. They're gonna lean on the run, man. They're 60-40 run. They got a quarterback that can run. The Kentrell Bullitt from Columbia. He's an excellent running back. He's rolling towards 1,000 yards. It's not going to be an easy afternoon. You know, you got to shut down the run and make Bishop beat you with his arm.
When you look across the Sun Belt, Glenn, of course, JMU is going to come out of the East as the East Division champion. You know, their stats are off the page. I guess if we looked at it early, what would your early outlook be at a potential Southern Miss JMU matchup?
That's a tough game, brother. Number one, you make the travel. And number two, how healthy is Braylon at that point?
Yeah.
And number three, JMU just, I mean, they're a really good football team. I mean, they should have beaten Louisville. They gave that game away. So they can play with most folks.
Yeah, and let me ask both you guys this. You saw the college football ratings came out last night, yeah. and Tulane is in there. And JMU's in the rankings last week, and then they win big. And then drop out.
They weren't in the rankings last week. They were in the AP poll.
Thank you for that correction. But then they're nowhere to be found. What's going on there?
I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. Tulane, two-loss team. Louisville's only loss is to Louisville. JMU's only loss is to Louisville, who might play for the ACC title game. So I don't know. I don't know the rationale behind that.
Yeah.
It just tells me that if Southern Miss would have beat Texas State and gone 11-2, they wouldn't have gotten in. Though that tells me.
Yeah.
I don't know if a Sun Belt team may ever get in.
JMU's legit across the board, man. They're strong and excellent coach and Coach Chesney. The question is something that could derail them down at the very end is Coach Chesney going to still be there on the sideline? You know, he's getting there are a lot of P4 teams that are very interested in him.
And you know, not that his resume doesn't stand on its own. But he's got Kurt Cignetti to thank for a lot of that, too, because Cignetti went from James Madison to Indiana and has one of the top three teams in the country. So JMU might be a place where a lot of these bigger schools start looking for quality coaches because apparently they know how to hire them there.
Yeah, and there's great talent in that area of the country, that Eastern Seaboard pickup where you're getting kids from Virginia, North Carolina, New Jersey, places like that. So, you know, talent rich.
Basketball-wise, Glenn, the men are off to – they were able to win last night. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. But as we progress a little bit, what's your insight to this team going forward, especially when you compare it to what you expect the quality of overall Sun Belt Conference basketball to be?
Yeah, that's a good question, Kelly. I really look forward to seeing how they match up against talent in the Sun Belt. I mean, it's still a team that's trying to find their offensive identity. They don't shoot the ball great from the perimeter. They need to, you know, find some guys they can count on in that regard. I mean, a lot of it's up in the air, man. They from week, you know, game to game, they look like they've taken that step forward, and then it's maybe two steps back, and then, you know, they just really hadn't settled on who they're going to be.
Well, they did defeat William Carey last night in the crosstown rivalry. In the next segment of the program, we're going to break that down. And then in the final segment, we'll talk about how the volleyball team is doing as they get ready for the Sun Belt tournament that is ready to tip off tomorrow in Foley, Alabama. Glenn Dyer with Golden Eagle Pride, we always appreciate your insight, buddy. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good day.
All right, Glenn Dyer again with us on the program. We'll take these commercial messages, and when we return, talking basketball, Golden Eagle style, in a moment.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
The Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
talking men's basketball in a moment, but this segment brought to you by DBAT. The DBAT training facility just off of Interstate 59 on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg is the place to take the youngsters over the holiday breaks. They'll have some winter camps, and don't forget their memberships that are always for sale, too. If you're going to spend a lot of time in there taking batting practice or some cuts or whatever you're doing at DBAT to become a better athlete, memberships are always a great idea, particularly the more that you spend in there time-wise. And Forest Health reminds you that keeping track of your favorite team this time of year is fun, but don't forget that the most important player on the team is you. Make sure you get your annual physical and be sure that your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help with expert medical care closer to home. Check them out online at foresthealth.org. That's Forest with two R's, like Forest County, foresthealth.org. Kelly Sander with Dima Mixon and producer-engineer Michael Mergens. We talked at the top of the program with women's coach Missy Bilderback. They had an 86-53 win over southeastern Louisiana last night. And after the women's game was done, the men took to the floor against crosstown rival William Carey. The Eagles emerged with an 82-59 win to go to 2-3 on the year. Every single Golden Eagle men's player scored in the game last night, and Carey kind of doomed itself, only shooting 26%, which has been up to the game yesterday was very uncharacteristic because the Crusaders were undefeated coming into that game. But nonetheless, Dima, what do you take from that game last night? Again, they were led by Isaac Tavares. I think he's led every single game in scoring for Southern Miss with 13.
Yeah, he's led four out of the five games they've played, according to the release last night from our guy Jack McDonald. But no, yeah, it was interesting because Southern Miss, like, they started off really hot from shooting from the floor, but at the end of the day, at halftime, they're only ahead by seven. And then Robert Cowherd hit like this half-court buzzer beater at halftime and put them up by 10. So even despite William Carey shooting like 22% in the first half, they're only down 10. So in my head, I was like, well, they could maybe come back, you know, because I was talking to Coach Knight after the game. And he was telling me, you know, we're number one in the country in the NIA, in the NAIA, as far as scoring offenses in the country. And so I asked him, and I said, well, why don't you think you scored well here tonight? And he said, well, the closeouts are faster when you play a D1 school. The length is just bigger. Everything is better. And so it's just different for your guys to see it. And so, yeah, you know, I thought Southern Miss, you know, just took care of business. It was just one of those business-like, just take care of business games. But I thought it was a good crowd. Well, William Carey obviously always brings, like, a pretty good contingent, and they were there cheering on their team with their cheerleaders. And Southern Miss, of course, had a nice little crowd there. So, yeah, but when you look at Southern Miss's team from a whole, Tavares, like you said, 13 points, Izzy with 10 points, Kurt Lewis, who was a starter, he had 11, which was big for them down the stretch. EJ Payman, first career start for him, and he had 9 points. One thing I looked to was Southern Miss 36 points in the paint to William Carey's 18. So that tells you a lot right there. And then 16 fast break points for Southern Miss, only 3 for William Carey. 37 points off the bench for Southern Miss, only 27 for William Carey. So when you look at it from a, you know, holistic point of view, Southern Miss really thoroughly dominated the game for most of the game. And, you know, so this is a team, kind of like Glenn was saying in the last segment, that, you know, is kind of just, you know, you really still don't know what you have with them, I think. You know, you see good things like what happened at South Carolina and what happened at Buffalo. You know, those were good displays, and they probably should have won both those games. And then you see what happened at Grambling, and you're like, I don't know. So it's kind of like you don't know what to expect.
And it's like what's weird, too, is that they've actually played better in their losses than they have played in their wins. Overall,
I think it's hard to compare the two because their two losses to Buffalo and South Carolina are much better than their two wins against William Carey and Tougaloo.
No, that's my point. Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, well, they played better competition and probably should have won.
Gotcha.
You know, but I don't know if you can say they played necessarily better, but I don't know.
26% too is what Carey shot from the floor. We mentioned that, but that's, I don't care who you're playing, you're not going to beat anybody shooting.
No, and that's what I'm saying.
26%.
Like, at half, they really should only been down 7 outside of a buzzer beater, you know, and so that's what was so surprising to me, that they were still in the game shooting 20%.
Now, again, we don't start Sunbelt Conference play until mid-December, just prior to Christmas. But this is the $64,000 question, and I threw it out to Glenn Dyer just a few minutes ago, so I'm going to ask my distinguished colleague, Dima Mixon, this, and then I'm going to tell you why I'm asking the question. Regardless of what Southern Miss may or may not have, how is it going to stack up in the Sun Belt? And the reason I ask that question right now is because Keith Gill, the commissioner of the Sun Belt, since Southern Miss has been a member, has said this has been a bee in his bonnet, to use a really old phrase, is how does the Sun Belt improve in basketball? Because football, there's some strides being made. The baseball team's really good pretty much from top to bottom. I mean, a couple teams, you know, maybe aren't so great, but you get the point. So how good do you think this Southern Miss team will be stacked up to other Sun Belt competition from what we've seen so far of other Sun Belt teams? And then the second part is there a magic wand that can be waved to make this conference better from top to bottom in hoops?
Yeah, as far as the Sun Belt, I mean, the thing with Southern Miss is they normally play so good at home that they normally can win most of their home games, especially in the Sun Belt play. So it's just about whether or not you think this team can go on the road and win some key games down the stretch. And I don't know. I don't know yet. Because I really don't know how good the rest of the Sun Belt is. I know, you know, Old Dominion, UL, Monroe, they haven't looked great. But I know South Alabama's undefeated. You know, Marshall and Arkansas State, I think, are 3-1. So I don't know. We'll see. There's a lot to shake out from now until then. As far as making the whole, you know, Sun Belt better in basketball, excuse me, I don't know, Kelly, you know, just basketball is so weird in the fact that, like, college football, at least, like, you can find good players for the most part to make up good teams in the transfer portal. The problem with college basketball is there's so many gosh dang teams, and there's so many teams that, you know, you're going to have – how many teams are there, like 360 or something?
363, yeah, I mean, I think, yeah.
There's just not that many, there's not enough players to keep rebuilding these rosters in this era we have. So I don't know if Group of Five basketball will ever be back to, you know, Southern Miss taking on the Memphises of the world and, you know, ranked matchups. I just don't think you'll ever get back to that. It's just so hard because all these players on the team right now, next year is going to be a whole other team. And it's going to be like that for the rest of our lives, probably.
And what's particularly frustrating is that when it comes to budgets and making money in college athletics, basketball has the lowest overhead of any team that there really are, considering you're not putting out as near as much money in scholarships, right, and things of that nature. So if you could put together some crowds,
yeah,
and put together some good seasons, whether you go to the tournament or not, you can still make money. Basketball is the easiest sport to make money in.
It is, but I think the interest level in basketball has gone down a lot. People just, like, I remember growing up, and I get Southern Miss was good back then, and they were playing better teams, but, like, I remember growing up, like, we wouldn't miss a Southern Miss basketball game. Like, Tuesday night, Thursday night, even if it was a school night, I remember we'd go to the game, and there would be tons of people there. I just think now, like, people just don't like to go watch basketball
games. Well, let me ask you this.
And that's not a Southern Miss thing. I'm saying that's across.
But is, and this is something that I have brought up but in other discussions, I think the college basketball season is too long.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a big deal because, like we've covered extensively on the show, really not anything that happens in the month of November and December really matters, because all that matters for Southern Miss is conference play. Can you get a good seed in the conference tournament? If they went 0-12, you know, it wouldn't be great. But if they went 0-12 in non-con and then 14-0 in Sun Belt play and made the NCAA tournament, nobody would blink an eye.
And because you talked about how good the Eagles are at home, but, and with all due respect, the home schedule so far has not exactly lit a fire under people to buy a season ticket.
No, only two home games so far this season against Tougaloo and William Carey. They're not back at home until middle of December, which is against Grambling State. And then the next home game after that is almost at Christmas time when Sun Belt play opens against Louisiana. So, yeah, the home schedule wasn't very friendly to Southern Miss this season. And really, if you look at their conference schedule, you look at – I'm going to show you this. January 10th, Southern Miss hosts UL Monroe. They're not back at home until almost February when they play App State. So almost 3 or 4 weeks on the road.
Well, and if you take into account the Grambling game,
yeah,
there's really only two games between now and two home games until January.
Yes.
Until January, middle of January.
Yeah. Two home games. Yep. Because it's Grambling,
UL. Well, you do have Arkansas State as well. So three home games from now until the new year, which is, I don't know. I mean, I'm not you know, the people who's making the schedule, but that's just hard to sell, I think.
It is, and I think, but again, I don't think that Southern Miss is necessarily alone in that boat.
No. It's not a Southern Miss thing. I just really think that college basketball in general, the interest level in it is low. When people start paying attention is when you get to fill out your brackets in March.
Again, when I was growing up, no basketball games were even played until Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
And then they were the tournaments out in Hawaii and things like this. When teams are playing in October now, and they're playing schools you've never heard of and will never hear from again, the season is just way, way too long.
Yeah.
Well, when we come back, one season as basketball begins to rev up, volleyball is winding down. And the Eagle volleyball team will play in the Sun Belt Tournament tomorrow in Foley, Alabama. We'll break that all down and tell you how the bracket looks when we return our final segment of the Eagle Hour in a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
4th Street Bar and Grill brings you this final segment of the Eagle Hour. Our buddies over there with their freshly paved parking lot. They're within the shadow of M.M. Roberts Stadium right over the Highway 49 Bridge on 4th Street, home of the $11.95 plate lunch, which includes your soft drink and all sorts of great games on the TVs. Always and everybody there is a Southern Miss fan. Whether you're pre-gaming or post-gaming, don't forget 4th Street Bar and Grill. And MCS Home Center, home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden is available at the new MCS Home Center in Bellevue, just past the Highway 98-589 interchange. Can't miss it on the right. And, of course, great place to start your holiday shopping. If you need decorations for the inside of the house, outside of the house, MCS Home Center. Tomorrow on the program, Craig Stevenson from AL.com. He'll be here to talk about the Jaguars of South Al. We're going to have him. He's also very knowledgeable about the inner workings of the Sun Belt. So Craig Stevenson tomorrow, along with color analyst for the Southern Miss Radio Network, Lee Roberts. Then on Friday, Blake Bustard, offensive lineman for Southern Miss, he'll be on the program in an interview that he did with Dima earlier this week.
And you can think about, since you know he moved from Eastern Michigan down here, you can start thinking before Friday and start thinking in your head what food he said he likes the most and where he goes, quote-unquote, almost every day.
So from a Yankee coming down here?
From Michigan.
Okay. And Patrick McGee will also be here to tell us what's up with the Saints. Oh. I think they've got the Dirty Birds this weekend. Don't they play the Atlanta Falcons, I think?
Dirty Saints and the Dirty Birds.
A late game, I think, this coming Sunday.
No, I think it's at noon.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was a late game.
No, it's at noon.
Are you sure? All right. Well, we're
pretty sure it's a new.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to look it up while you talk a little bit about volleyball, because the women's volleyball team, first of all conference players came out today, and then let's talk about the bracket. The Eagles will play Georgia State tomorrow in the opener. I'll let you know that much, but tell us about.
So the Sun Belt all conference team for the volleyball came out. Player of the year was Kennedy Lousel. I actually don't know how to say her name. Would you like to guess what college she's from?
James Madison.
Oh, that's a great guess.
Okay.
No, in all seriousness, Southern Miss was able to notch three players on the all-conference team, one in the first team and then two in the third team. Sadie Makeda for Southern Miss was listed in the first team all-Sun Belt Conference, as well as Bryn Botkin and Sonny Shepard, both of them on the all-conference third team for Southern Miss. And like you said, they start the Sun Belt tournament tomorrow against Georgia Southern. I'm going to work on getting a time while you tell us the time of the Saints game.
And Dima Mixon. you were insisting that the game was at 12 noon. Would you ever admit to an older, more experienced, and wiser man that you were wrong?
If he can find one.
Oh. Well, it could have been the 3 o'clock game, but that's not the light. You're saying the late game like a night game.
No, I meant a late game like late afternoon.
So we're changing our story now.
3:25.
It's not a night game.
Is the kickoff.
It's not a night game.
I didn't say it was. I said it was a later game.
It'll be night when it's over.
3:20. No, it'll probably be over in the first quarter.
That's true.
but the Falcons and Saints.
What's the spread on that game?
I don't know. They kick off at 3:25 at the Dome. So the Dirty Birds against the Saints. And while you're still looking at that bracket, I can remind our listeners that the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast can be found on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or on YouTube, where you can ask Alexa or Siri. At least Michael Mergens can get it to work. I can't to play the Super Talk.
And we're not Eagle making Hour. That up. What Bob said, that actually did happen.
Yeah, that did. Because people
would not work for Kelly. I walk up there, and it turns on.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, my ineptitude just continues.
Sure. Ineptitude.
So,
go with that.
There's no time designated for Southern Miss Georgia State tomorrow at the volleyball tournament. So I guess they're after another game, and I think they're 45-minute intervals. So.
And if they win, then that's essentially a play-in game, because Southern Miss is the 5 seed from the West, and they're playing Georgia State, who's the 4 seed from the East. And then the winner will advance Friday to take on Arkansas State, which was the number 1 seed from the West. But if the Eagles can get by that first round game, again, it's good news because they beat Arkansas State during the regular season up in Jonesboro. So the volleyball team has shown its ability to beat Arkansas State when very few teams elsewhere have this year. So good luck to Coach Hazelwood.
And it's at 1:30 Central Time. That's the marked time, 1:30. And so then, during our show tomorrow, they'll get going.
And then, like we say, they would play then on Friday if they were able to win against Arkansas State. And, of course, if they lose, it's all over.
Correct.
And then we got basketball and football, both the men and women's basketball and football to be talking about. And, look, one way or the other, whatever happens with the football team, you know there's going to be a bowl game involved. And I know most fans, Dima, you're in contact with a lot of fans, too. Most of them pulling for the New Orleans Bowl?
Yeah, I think so. I think, people won't. You know, you've heard like the Cure Bowl in Orlando. You've heard the Heart of Dallas Bowl in Dallas, kind of as potential possibilities. But
I know,
I just think it'd be great for the fan base to get something closer to home. But I don't think that necessarily any fans want to go to like Montgomery or Mobile. I think New Orleans would be just a great spot, cool to play in the Superdome, and just a good bowl game to get most of the fan base there.
I've heard Boca Raton too.
Again, I think you've heard that, but I just don't know if a lot of fans will travel to that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, great shows planned for the rest of the week as we finish the week prior to Thanksgiving. Of course, we'll have all people that are on top of everything Southern Miss here the next couple of weeks. That'll do it for today. For Dima Mixon and producer-engineer Michael Mergens, I'm Kelly Sander. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.